Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Thank you, Father Yahweh, for this opportunity. Hallelujah. To be in your presence. You say you inhabit the praises of your people. So we give you that praise, we give you that glory, we give you that atmosphere to live in and to dwell in and to bless us in, hallelujah. In the presence of Yahweh, there is fullness of joy. So we have joy in our hearts this morning, hallelujah. We have praise on our lips, hallelujah. We've come to offer up to you all of those things. But the most important thing that we can offer up to you is ourselves, our life. You said, give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, Father. So we honor you today by giving ourselves to you, our lives. Shape us, make us, mold us, transform us by the power of your word, through the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Father, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and which is a light unto our pathway. We just ask that you light the way. And we give you that glory and that honor. Show us, help us today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody blessed this morning? Anybody blessed? Amen. It is a blessing to be in the house this morning. Not just those here that are in the sanctuary, but also those who are on iChurch tuning in. We thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate you. We're actually streaming on English and Spanish simulcast. Isn't that a blessing? We got, you know, we're streaming both. Amen. So thank you for coming in. Those listeners, it is your faithful, loving financial support that allows iChurch to continue. So if this ministry has been a blessing to you, please let us know by indicating somewhere on that site is a way for you to get in contact with us at the top right. Please do that. We'd love to hear from you. Let's turn to Yohanan, the 8th chapter. We're winding down the series that we've been on, and it really was not intended to be a series. Series are created when when I have so much information that I can't get it into one service. And so what happens is that the thought is that we're going to get it in, and then it gets so good on the first couple of scriptures that we don't get a chance to get to the next ones. So we let it overflow to the next week. Well, from what I understand, we have overflowed for 14 weeks. Amen. But he really wanted me to take my time with it, and I'm glad that I was obedient, because it is important for us in these last days to understand why we do what we do. You know, a lot of times people don't, they're looking at the word as if the word is keeping them from doing stuff. And the word is so mean, and the word, you know, I can't do, why is it restricting me? Stop. Shut up. The word is only trying to give you instructions on how to live this life. I don't know about you, but you know, it's crazy how we'll ask, say if we're lost, we'll ask someone for help, but while we're listening, we're not listening. They say, make a left over here, then make a right, and then go down there. We're like, I got this. And then we end up getting lost again because we're not following what? Instructions. A lot of times we don't even want to ask for help. So we'd rather wander around for two hours instead of getting some directions. Us men, we're good for that. We're riding in the hot car. Well, why don't you pull over and ask for directions? Well, I'm dating myself. You can just pull up your phone now. But there was a day when if you wanted directions, you had to pull over to a gas station. If you wanted to go on a cross-country trip, you went to the AAA. And they would give you, map it out. And if you wanted a short trip, you would buy what was called a Thomas guide. These young folks don't know nothing about that. They don't know nothing about mapping out that. Now all they got to do is pick up their phone. But this is a crazy thing. I have an app. It's the best app, I believe, that is offered out there. It's called Waze. W-A-Z-E. And at first, somebody turned me on to it, and they said, oh, man, I got this app. It's called Waze. I said, oh, Waze? So then I was telling people, just if you want a good navigation map, just download Waze. And they was like, I ain't never heard of Waze. I'm like, you haven't heard of Waze? No. They said, do you mean Waze? I was like, yeah, I guess so. But Waze, the cool thing about Waze is you put in what you want your destination to be. It is already taken into account the fact that there are detours, that the street could be closed, that, the traffic on the freeway, if you think that you're supposed to get on the freeway, it'll route you around that. Now, the problem is that I'm wondering, why is Waze taking me over here and this way and that way? Because I know the way, a generalized sense of the way. And so when I end up not listening to her, I get stuck. It takes me 30 minutes. So I had to start gaining a trust in Waze. So now I listen. When Waze speaks, I listen. And she's taking me out of some situations. She's taking me out of some places that I didn't want to be. But I almost slipped and thought I knew better and I wouldn't listen to Waze. That's what y'all do with the word. The word is trying to lead you and trying to guide you. And you're like, I got this. And you end up in the biggest mess that you could ever know. That's why it's important for us to know. The Holy Spirit is trying to guide us and lead us. The Word is trying to guide us and lead us, and we think we got it. Tell your neighbor, you ain't got it. Until you come, you got to come to this realization, y'all. Without the Word and without the Holy Spirit, you are nothing. Without the Word and the Holy Spirit, you can't make it. Stop trying to prove that you can make it without following the Word and without following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we do. We got young people that grew up in this church, and they're out there because they're trying to prove to us that they don't need this. That's what they're doing. They're trying to say, I can make it. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be a provider, and I don't need to come to church to do it. Guess what? They're wanting for everything. They can't get a handle on life. They can't get a handle on nothing. Because they are dead set against proving that they can make it without Yahweh. Anybody know anybody like that? So it's important for you to demonstrate this life. Show them in your lifestyle. Show them in your victory. And Wednesday night, We talked about showing folk in our testimony. Our testimony is powerful. Our testimony, what Yahweh has done for us, what he has brought us out of, what he has transformed us from, the way he has renewed our minds. When you open up your mouth and talk about that, you don't have to worry about nothing. The Holy Spirit takes over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When he just like... So we got to start demonstrating, but we have to release ourselves to the word. And that's what I'm getting. It's important for us to know the Savior. It's important for us to know it. This surface knowledge that we have been comfortable with is not good enough anymore. We got to go deeper. And that's the whole thing about getting into the Hebrew and getting into the Greek and the real meanings of these words. So if we go to Yohanan in the 8th chapter, the 28th verse, and it said, "Then said Yeshua unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I..." Because basically there were doubts, disbelief, unbelief, right? Things that you as a believer should not even be in your vocabulary. You should be... How can you doubt the power of Yahweh? How can you doubt who he is? But when you don't follow his word, and when you're going to go your own way, basically you're saying, I don't need that. I don't need you. And basically the word tells us, lean not to your own understanding. Tell your neighbor, my understanding is whack. See, if I had said it the other way, tell your neighbor that their understanding is whack, somebody would have been offended. Because somebody has been leaning to their own understanding. But Apostle said, your understanding is whack. He's pointing up. But yeah, our understanding is whack. You got to understand that. It's not. His ways are not my ways. My ways are not his ways. That's why I need to have the mind of him. And so I got to surrender. Like my sister Marissa was saying, did you say I surrender? I heard that in the spirit. Did she say that? She said, I surrender. I surrender what? Some. No, but y'all don't surrender all. You surrender like 50%? 25%? Surrender what? Tell your neighbor, he wants it all. He wants it all. So we got to stop doing this. Well, I went to church last week. I'm going to take this week to myself. Stop. Stop bargaining and stop rationing. Stop doing that. He wants it all. You can't go to church enough, really. I can't provide enough opportunities for y'all. Actually, to tell you the truth, I should have something going on every day of the week. Because that's how busy the devil is. He got something for you every day of the week. He got it going on. He got it on Monday. He got it going on Tuesday. The devil got it going on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you know the devil got it going on today too? And some of y'all about to get off up in it when I let you go. And if I don't let you go at 1 o'clock, you're going to be like, come on. I got to go get golf up and get up in this. Y'all been going to his services every day. He got services. Come on. Did y'all know that the devil got services? Oh, he got them all over the city. Back to back. Back to back services. He got services starting every 15 minutes. Maybe more frequently than that. Some of y'all went to his Halloween services. They had a good time at his Halloween service. You were ready. See, here we ask you to put on the garment of praise. At his party, you put on all kind of ghoul, devil, ghosts, Dracula, garments. And the same folk, and then you had your house decorated. I don't know. Listen, I ain't driving around. I didn't see what y'all got going on. But somebody did it.
And the same house that got the devils and the goblins, in a couple of weeks, they're going to have the angels and the nativity. And then not only did you go to the devil service, but you took your kids. And you bought them the uniforms. You know, if we really knew, but I mean, I'm telling you guys, this year, I think next year, I think Halloween might fall on a Sunday. I'm not sure. Next year. I need to give you guys a teaching on Halloween origins because, you know, we need to break that down because I need to get you out from the masquerade parties next year. I missed it this year. I'm sorry. You know, y'all was partaking last night. But next year is going to be different. Praise Yahweh for next year. Amen. Thank Yahweh. Is it going to be different? Okay. But unless we really turn ourselves over to this, that means lifting him up. What does that mean? He says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has. Wow, hold up. So even Yeshua had to get instruction. From who? Father. Yahweh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Right? And so it's okay to get instructions, y'all. It's okay to get your instructions from the Word. It's okay to release and surrender and follow the instructions of the Word. If we would do that, we would save ourselves some heartache. Anybody experienced heartache from not listening? Don't be ashamed. You didn't follow the Word, and you experienced what? Heartache. Some of y'all for many years. Somebody's heart is aching right now. But you know what? We got the answer for you. We got the answer for you today. The answer is Him. Nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And the 29th verse says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I do always those things that... Let me follow up on this. My Father has not left me... You know, when Yeshua was in that situation where, you know, he was going to have to submit himself to the cross for you. He was going to have to give himself for the sins of the world. That means for you. And many would have thought that he was alone. Where was the Father that had given me what? Those instructions. But even though seemingly from the outside it looked like he was alone, he says, my Father has not left me. Because I still carry his words with me. I'm still doing his will. I'm still doing the things that please him. So sometimes when y'all find yourself seemingly alone, that you out there, he ain't left you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in your darkest hour, all you got to do is still follow his instructions and he'll lead you right up out of there. That's what he does. Things might look bleak, but that's why when the psalm says, even though I travel through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hold up. It didn't say the valley of death. It said the valley of the shadow. That means it's not real. That means it's just a mirage. That means the enemy is just trying to make it look dark. But you've already got the victory. You've already overcome by the blood and Yeshua. You've already done that. So all you got to do is tell your neighbor, hold on to the Word.
Hold on to the Word.
So that's important to know. The Word. And the 30th verse says what? And as he spake these words. There's a lot of folks that heard it, and they said they believed. But this is what he had to say to them, the 31st verse. Then said Yeshua to those Yehudim. Do you know what Yehudim is? Those are the Jews, right? So then he said to those Yehudim which believed on him. Because guess what? They were like, yeah, I believe. See, you know what? Here, November 1st, I have a, you know, I'm looking out at your faces. I love each and every one of you. Oh, I love you guys. Tell your neighbor, I love you. I mean, this is just a love fest. And look how sweet they look. Look at your neighbor. Look, they look good. They look, they got a smile on their face. They look prosperous. Amen. And then some of them are saying they believe. Look at them. Look at their face. So the assumption is that all these beautiful people believe. Right? And as this word is going forth, that each and every one of you, each 100% of you guys are going to go outside these doors and you're going to start operating in the word that you said that you believe as you sat up under my words this morning. But truth is, all y'all sitting up in here, smiling and giving us teeth, giving us good teeth.
I believe, Pastor.
I can't tell you, I mean, ooh, Pastor.
Ooh, that word.
And then they go out and start cutting up and acting the fool. Saying all kinds of stuff, talking about people and everything. And then here they slide back up in here. Ooh, Pastor. In and out. They turn it on, they turn it off. And so I'm sure Yeshua, I love picturing how Yeshua must have been looking at them. And you know what? I believe that Yeshua laughed sometimes. He had to chuckle. He had to. Because the folks that he was dealing with and all the fooly wang that he had to deal with, all the folks saying they was going to do something, and he already knew. Kepha, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And he was like, no, Lord, I bet Yeshua was like. Oh, Kepha, Peter, Kepha. So this is the same thing. They was all giving him affirmation. You know how y'all do. I'm serious. They're speaking the word, and somebody did this. I'm talking about the word, and I'm, you know, kind of get excited and exhorted, and somebody said, "Ooh, hallelujah." So my assumption is that everybody's going to do the word. Well, Yeshua was. They gave him those same affirmations. People was nodding their heads and everything, but then he turned to them and he was like, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." You're my disciples, absolutely. You're my disciples certified. He's saying the same thing to you. Once you walk up out of here, out of this diamond, and I say diamond because it's the way that it's shaped. Once y'all go out there, are you going to continue? Are you going to continue? Are you going to take this with you? Are you going to pack this up and take it with you? Ask your neighbor, you going to take it with you? We got to-go boxes. Pack it up and take it with you. That's what we need you to do. And it says, if you do that, then you are my what? Disciples indeed. And then 32 says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth is going to have an impact on you. The truth is going to do something. The truth is going to release something. The truth is going to activate something. And what does it do? It activates freedom. You're going to know. And I told you about the Hebrew concept of knowledge is that when you know something, you own it. No one can take it away from you. Once you hear it and it comes into you, you own it. It belongs to you. It becomes a part of you. So then we can say you shall own the truth. And the truth will what? Anybody free today? Anybody free? You want freedom?
So let's go here to 2 Timothy real quick, and then it'll propel me to this next part. There was a high priority in the Hebrew tradition on knowledge. It was regarded highly. Those that delivered and taught knowledge were highly regarded and highly respected. Amen. And highly followed and highly revered. Yes. It breaks my heart that in this day and age, we don't even respect the teachers that teach in our school district. Our teachers are not highly regarded. Yeah, I know that there was a situation where the student didn't follow instructions and then the security guard came in, and that's horrible. Don't agree with his actions at all. Never should have done that to a child. But then I saw this other video where the teacher was trying to take a cell phone, you know, just take the cell phone away from the kid, and then the kid beat the teacher down and tackled the teacher. And there's a lot of foolishness going on in schools today. I can't. When I was in school, we wouldn't dare. My generation, we would not dare even what? Talk back or say nothing cross. First of all, we knew that if the note got home, there was going to be some repercussions and some consequences and some beltism. Some snap. You know, they call that stuff abuse, but you know what? It worked. Praise Yahweh. I'm able to stand here today. I survived it. I got some good discipline. Because once I got that snap back, I wasn't about to go. I didn't want to go down that road no more. He taught me good. He. Now, you know, if you beat somebody half to death, no, that never happened. But there was just a couple of good taps right there. Some that love tap. And when I was in school, it was the Board of Education. Literally. It was a big giant plank that said Board of Education. And with holes in it. And the thing about the holes is that it has this aerodynamic. It could go through the air. And then when it made contact to your behind, it was suck it out. Anybody a recipient of the Board of it? Hey, are you all right today? Hey. See, maybe if they had not taken out prayer and Board of Education, our schools would be all right. Anybody agree with me on that? I'm just saying. We took out some essentials. Right? That there's going to be some, what? Repercussions. But there in that day, there were revealed, the rabbis. They were revered. They were followed. They were respected. And so when we go here to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, the 15th verse, study to show yourself approved. We just said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So that means that there needs to be some demonstration in you. Reason why, Pastor Tom, why do you keep talking about this? Because I'm still seeing that you're not walking the walk that you profess, that you say that you believe in. So I got to keep on applying the Board of Education to you so you'll get this. How is it? Because I'm connected. I hear your conversations sometimes. I hear the things that you say. I see what you post on Facebook. I see your Instagram. And some of the stuff I'm seeing is not lining up with being a disciple indeed. So what does this have to do? I need to show fruit. The word says study to show yourself approved unto Yahweh. Study. Okay, that just means I need to read the word. No.
How many of you have read something, but you didn't study? You can read something. That don't mean you studied it. You just gave a cursory review, a cursory glance, just a surface glance of it. But study means something. So when we look in the Greek, the word study is what? Spoudazo. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, if your neighbor is acting up and they're not following the word, tell them spoudazo. Did anybody use that within the last couple of weeks? Did you say spoudazo? Thank you. I use spoudazo a couple of times. Sometimes you got to tell yourself spoudazo. Because we wild out. And study means make an effort, people. It means be diligent. It means do work. It means study earnestly. You got to do this. You got to make an effort. Being saved is not easy. You got to work at this here thing. I've been working this thing for, well, I just turned, oh, I got a funny story, true story. I just turned 48 on Monday. That was my birthday, it was my birthday. But I wasn't looking for a clap, I'm trying to set this up. Well, all year long, people asked me how old I was, and I told them I was 48 because I actually thought I was 48. And I thought I was going to turn 49 on Monday. It wasn't until I looked at my driver's license one day and did the math, and I was like, wait, no, I'm actually 47 and I'm going to turn 48. Hallelujah! Well, you like, are you serious, Pastor Tom? Yeah, because I don't think about my age. Because really, my age keep on going, and I feel a different way. I feel like 25. I feel that way. So I stopped acknowledging my age after I turned 35. I stopped counting. So I actually thought that I was going to be 49. But praise Yahweh, he has given me an extra. As far as I'm concerned. But that being the case, if I am 48, I got saved when I was 9 years old. I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But, you know, as a kid, you don't fully understand the gravity of what you stepped into, right? Came later, but I still was receiving instruction. So, was that 39 years? And I'm still trying to get it right. I'm still working on it. I'm still studying. I'm still spadazzling. You never get to a point where you know everything and know enough. Ask the apostle. He's been studying word for over 40 years. And I asked him, do you ever get to a point that you know everything? And he said, the older I get, the more I realize that I don't know nothing. So he's ever learning. But you can't stop spoudazzling. You have to continue. And some of y'all don't come to church, well, he gonna talk about the same thing. I already know that. Yeah, that's what they say. Some of y'all was like, well, you know, I done already heard this, but you're not doing it. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking to you. This is a situation where if you think I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. If you think I'm pointing you out, I am pointing you out. Because I know that you said it in your heart. Holy Spirit told me, and I'm telling you, you don't know nothing. You ain't doing nothing. You still have not gotten it. Just by the mere fact that you have the audacity to think that you know more, but you're not operating it and you're not applying it, shame on you. Fruit. I need to see it. You don't need to see nothing. Yes, I do. Because the Bible tells me I would know them by their fruit. That's an indication to me. You say you're a believer, I want to see your fruit. Where your fruit at? Where your evidence? So, spoudazo. And you got to do this and go back to my verse. Spoudazo to show yourself approved. Guess what that lets me know? There is a doctrine out there saying I can do whatever I want to do. It's called hyper grace. I can do whatever I want to do and I'm still saved. He still loves me. Hell no. Did you say that? Yes, I did. Because that message is coming straight from hell. And you need to tell hell, no, I don't believe that. You're a liar. You know truth in you. Oh, pastor, you said you cuss. No, I said hell no. I am not receiving that word from hell that tells me whatever I do, it's okay because he's going to love me and he's going to let me in. No, you're not going in. Yes, he loves you, but there's something that's not acceptable and there's something that's acceptable. There's something that's not approved and there's something that's approved. I know what unacceptable looks like and I know what acceptable looks like. I know what heaven looks like, and I know what hell looks like. And some of y'all are raising hell. Like you did last night, okay? Literally they rose hell. Literally they demonstrated hell. And so we're saying, study to show yourself. Somebody say approved. Unto Yahweh. Yeah, you can put the dog on and fool me. You can try to fool me. You can try to give me all your sweetness. And then, oh, Father, Holy Ghost. It's the folks that get, oh, I love you. Oh, I love it. Oh, Pastor, I love. Those are the ones you got to watch out for. Hold up. Because you're trying to put on that butter. You're trying to put on that honey. You're trying to cover the fact that you ain't right. Ooh. So don't try to be approved by me. You don't need my approval. The approval that you need is his approval. Study to show yourself approved on him. Stop trying to act like you loving on me. You ain't getting no points. No chocolate chip cookie points. No chocolate cake points. Why don't you say brownie points? Because I like chocolate chip cookies and chocolate cake better than brownies. So don't try to, you know, swerve up on me. Just, you know what pleases me? You know what really reaches my heart? When you do stuff according to him. When you do his will, when you're like sold out to him, when you're like loving him and I see you, I see him in you. That's what really, I love that. Study yourself. Spoudazo yourself, approved unto Yahweh, a workman that needeth. Workman that needeth not be ashamed. Are you living in shame? Well, if you're doing this, you don't have to. Because if you're spoudazoing, he's saying, you don't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing means orthotomeo, which means what? It's there. I don't want to say it before you guys. Orthotomeo, to meet, teach, or to share the truth directly and correctly. Do you see that? To teach and share the truth directly and correctly, to hold a straight course. Do you know what this means, people? Cut a straight line by the word. There's stuff that you know beyond a shadow of. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Believers seem to like gray areas. Well, the word didn't exactly say that, you couldn't drink. Well, you know, Yeshua never said anything about homosexuality. They're coming up with this stuff. So if he didn't say nothing, then it don't matter. Well, Yeshua is the Word. He is the living Word. He's the Logos. So whatever the Word said is what Yeshua said. So whatever is being spoken of in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as long as it's under the auspices of the Word, Yeshua said it. And if he said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But people are always trying to find little gray areas. Well, he didn't say I could not have my margarita. He did not say that I could not have my marijuana. Because it said in the good book that he made all of the herbs of the field. So therefore, he know that I need my herbs. The Word don't have no gray areas, people. You got to get into the Word to know what the Word says about all that. And all these people out there that's been, well, what if this is not all this, that? Shut up. Because they ain't studied. They just took one verse and then they running away with it. But the Bible says we can't do that. The Word is not given to private interpretation. We can't do that. You got to have a line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and all of it builds a case for truth. So you gotta know the Word enough to know what is black and what is white. What is wrong and what is right. What is yay and what is nay. The Word makes it very clear. But the reason why you're not sure is because you haven't rightly divided. And the Word instructs you. Well, my pastor needs to write. No. Don't. Yes, I got to rightly divide, but he said you rightly divide. That means that whatever I say, you need to go back and check it. And if it's not right, I'll give you $50. That's what Apostle used to say. Have you made any payouts? He said, not yet. No, he says, nobody has come. So, let's go here because this is our wind down. Understanding this, we need to put a value on truth. We need to value the truth. You know, I would love, my flesh would love to be able to speak on something that y'all would love and like all the time. And something that make you feel good. And then you felt so good that you tell somebody, oh, yeah, come on in. They ain't talking about sin, girl. Oh, they're just talking about how to get your career going. Oh, yes. Oh, they're talking about blessings, and they're talking about prosperity. Yes. Oh, they're talking about how you can make a dollar out of 15 cents. Praise y'all. How to get your career, you know. And I could do that, and this place would be full of people that, you know, they just want to get their ego fed. They just want to get, you know, hear what they want to hear. But you know what? He ain't instruct me to do that. He instruct me to rightly divide this Word, the Word of truth. And by golly, I'm going to rightly divide the Word of truth. So sometimes it's going to get quiet off up in here. And sometimes y'all gonna get mad at me and you gonna throw some fiery darts. Ha, but I already got my armor on. Your darts don't mean nothing. I'm gonna teach you the truth. I'm gonna tell you what Yahweh said so that not only will I see you here, but I will see you there. It Anybody want to go there with me? I need some folks that want to go there. Truth. Because the same congregation that we up in here enjoying each other's company, I want to see y'all there. So I'm not going to have it come down on me that, well, you didn't tell them this. No, I told them. Even at the risk of them walking out, even at the risk of them saying, oh, well, I ain't going to pay my tithes. Well, that's on you. You the one that's blocking your blessings. You ain't doing nothing for the church. The church is going on. Yahweh is a provider. Yeah, he will provide. Now, if you want to block your blessings, you can go ahead on and do that. If you want to live in lack, but you ain't hurt nothing. At least, listen, somebody said, I had a conversation the other day. Listen, I like people to like me, but I'd rather people respect me more. So if I had a choice between you liking me and like everything I say, or you respecting me and know that the word is going on, I want you to respect me and the word is going on. And guess what? If you're doing that, you'll learn to like me. Time is out. I wanted to open this up, but you know what? We're going to open it up next week. Bow your head. Yahweh. We thank you. We thank you for what you demonstrated in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the word that you're giving us and that you're asking us to rightly divide so that we know clearly what the direction is for our life. We need your direction. We need your guidance. We need your instruction. So, Father Yahweh, as we go out the rest of this week, minister to us, Spudazo. Minister to us the importance of studying and applying that word. Minister to us, orthotomeo, of rightly dividing that word, that we can discern what is right, what is wrong in our walk. That we will be a blessing not only, Father, to ourselves, our body, but we'll be a blessing to all of those that want a different way, that want transformation, that want a new life, that want to be brought out of destruction into your abundance. Right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, help us to be better believers, Father Yahweh, that we can be those that you're looking for in this age. Use us. Let our lives demonstrate your transformative power. And we give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. We have heads bowed. For just a couple of reasons, one of which we want to honor this opportunity, this moment, because this is the moment that decisions are made. This is the moment that lives are changed. We don't want to interrupt that. We don't want to take away from that. This is the moment where believers intercede and pray that a life can be touched. So I'm just asking you, believers, to do that now. I'm going to make a call. For those who may not have initiated a relationship of knowing the Savior, or maybe they thought they did many years ago, as I myself said that when I was 9 years old, I made a decision, but didn't understand the gravity of that. Maybe you don't know, or maybe you didn't know. Maybe you were just like that. But now you have come to the understanding of what you need.
And maybe he's ministering what you need, even in this morning. So if you want to initiate a relationship with the Savior, you say, you know, I want a different life. I've tried it my way. I've leaned to my own understanding. I want to go to the rock that is higher than I. So the heads are bowed. The enemy is trying to tell you, don't raise your hand. But I'm telling you, if you want us to pray for you for that new life, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. We'll do that. You have not been baptized. You know, hey, I want this new life that you're talking about. Raise your hand. Don't let the enemy keep your hand down. Get that new life. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you this morning. Amen. That's what he has come for, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Maybe you have had a relationship with the Savior, but you drifted away. You're not as close as you used to be. You kind of fell off. And you're saying, hey, I want to reestablish that. I want that restored. I know that he's calling me. I know that he's drawing me. If that's you, raise your hand and we'll pray for you for restoration. Restoration. He'll restore. That's what he does. Man, maybe you are someone that says, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. I don't know if my walk has been right. I went to other churches before and I'm not sure. I want clarity. And if that's you and you just want a better understanding of where you stand in your salvation, raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Pray for you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just offering a couple more moments for this. Because this is important. It's a decision of life or death. That's how serious it is. And he's saying, choose life. Hallelujah. Just keep your head bowed. Father Yahweh, we thank you for the attributes that you have of love, of mercy, of grace. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for being merciful and gracious and loving to those of us that are so undeserving. We don't deserve what you offer us, but we thank you, Father, for still drawing us, still calling us. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, if someone did not necessarily acknowledge that call, Father Yahweh, continue to minister to them. You say no man or woman come to you unless you draw them first. Continue to draw them. Continue to speak to them. That your grace and mercy will allow them another opportunity, Father, in your house. And we give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give him glory this morning. Hallelujah. Right. I want our ushers to come forward really quickly. We want to give those of you another opportunity who did not get a chance to give, maybe. And then maybe the Holy Spirit is impressed upon you to plant another seed. Please do that. Sometimes we have missed out on that. So I want to give you that opportunity. Also, maybe you did not get a chance to participate in the Global Fund, which is us spreading the word of Yeshua, the gospel of Yeshua, all the way around the world. If that is you, that's $10 a week per member. If you want to participate in that, please raise your hand. Also, Liberia, the Liberia Fund, where we have already built a school. We have already dug wells of water, and we have 14 churches in Monrovia, Liberia, Christians Community Center. If that's you, please continue to give. That's $5 a week per member. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray for this. Father Yahweh, we thank you for this offering. We ask that you bless those givers, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Who is it? Oh, I'm going to turn you into the hands of Minister Ricky Wass. Let's please receive him with amen. Hallelujah. He's going to dismiss you. Amen.
Shabbat. This good word. Let's praise our pastor. Let's thank Yahweh for him, for that anointing that he's placed on him. Again, I say he's given us the uncut word. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. Praise Yahweh. Buckets are still going around.
Both collectively as a church and individually in our own households. If you'd like to take part in the same giving, you can do so by choosing the Give tab at the top of the screen on this website. Don't worry about being disconnected from the services, as when you choose this, it will open up a new window. Feel free to give as you feel led to, and thank you.